Chapter 8. By all rights, Kakashi should take his own advice and get some rest. He'll have the shift right after Hinata and Sakura, after all. He's too restless, though. Still wired from the fight, even if it was several hours ago already. So he gets his feet under him and rises, then heads for the door, waving a hand at Sakura in reassurance as he goes. She subsides, sinking back onto her heels, and swallows as she looks down. Care for her team is a good thing, Kakashi thinks, not quite able to fight a small, tired smile. Sasuke is going to be a good strategist, but Sakura is the one who will turn out to be a good leader once she has the opportunity to grow up a bit. She's starting to keep track of all of them, accounting for supplies and days of travel and whatever they could encounter. And just being around Tsunade as she works as Hokage is helping to hone those skills. It's odd and startling and a little painful to see all the echoes of Kakashi's own team coming out in his genin. There were superficial resemblances right from the beginning, but Kakashi had written them off after a few days. Rin was never obvious about her crush the way Sakura was, and Obito was highly skilled in taijutsu and a far better student than Naruto, and Kakashi himself had respected rules and regulations far more than Sasuke cared to. Now, though, the true similarities are coming clear, and it's not what Kakashi expected at all. Sasuke isn't some half-hearted copy of Kakashi himself. He's like Obito was, full of drive and determination that's slowly being shaped into something useful. For all her growing skill with medical ninjutsu, Sakura takes after Kakashi the most. Technically minded and still learning when it's best to abandon the rules. And Naruto is like Rin, fiercely kind and strong, the heart of the team in every way that matters, with a will that doesn't waver no matter the odds. It's easier, like this, to look at them. The sideways shadows of other people are distorted enough that Kakashi doesn't see ghosts every time he turns his head. And he wonders, just a little, what he could have changed if he'd paid attention sooner. Not Kiba, maybe, but his own team might not be quite so fractured, might be further along in learning how all their edges fit together. Well, better to have happened late than not at all, he reminds himself, stepping out into the low light of dusk. The narrow door in the wall beside the gate is standing open, the light of a lantern casting a golden glow against the lengthening shadows. And Kakashi can just see the oldest of the guards through the opening, seated on a stool with a pike resting against the wall beside him. Not overly secure, but then again, that's what Kakashi's team is for. He slips through the gap, offering a nod to the guard, who smiles wryly in return. "Good evening," the man says quietly, though his eyes go back to scanning the road. "Evening," Kakashi returns lightly. "All quiet?" The guard snorts, leaning back against the wall. He shifts his leg with a grimace and a stiffness that speaks of injury, and instead of answering, he says, "Those two, the ones who attacked us, they passed by 2 days ago. The woman was selling flowers and the kid..." He trails off, but his eyes are dark. Civilians don't like genin, Kakashi knows. Don't like any shinobi at the age of what they would consider a child. Kakashi has always wondered where the line falls, why one day someone is old enough to fight and kill, and the day before they're too young. Wondered what it must be like to live like the civilian children he's encountered. Bewildering, surely. He doesn't have the first idea how to be anything but a shinobi. "The kid's a missing nin," Kakashi says. Not about to give out the whole story, but wanting to keep someone else from underestimating Kiba and ending up dead. "He killed a very strong, very influential counselor and stole another clan's secret techniques." The guard rubs a hand over his face, shoulders rounding. "He can't be more than 10, he says, somewhere between angry and bewildered. 12 or 13, Kakashi corrects, but the guard just shakes his head and doesn't respond. Since clearly that avenue of conversation is a dead end, Kakashi glances down the road, and then asks, "Waiting for something?" "Just the delivery of supplies Lord Hachuma ordered," the man answers. "The estate wasn't prepared to feed so many people, so the kitchen's almost out of food. They should be here soon." A bad feeling prickles down Kakashi's spine, and he straightens, debating lifting his hitayate for half an instant. His range isn't that good, though, and from here, it's just a waste of chakra. He'll need to... Kakashi-sensei? Sakura asks from behind him, and Kakashi tips his head, even if he doesn't quite look around. You need to be guarding the inner house in 10 minutes, Sakura, he reminds her. The girl slides up to stand at his side, eyes flickering out to scan the road before they dart back to Kakashi. Kudenai said she had things she wanted to discuss with Lord Hachiuma, and that I didn't need to take this shift. Kudenai is going to run herself ragged, Kakashi thinks, though he supposes he can understand the impulse. He nods, not bothering to argue, and takes a step outside the pool of lantern light, turning in the direction of the town. Sakura shadows him without hesitation, and Kakashi glances at her but doesn't argue about that either. There's a delivery coming, he tells her. We should escort it in. Sakura gets it immediately, and nods tightly as she tugs her fingerless gloves up a bit more securely. Resupplying leaves gaps in their defenses. Whether the missing nin infiltrate the delivery to sneak in unobserved, or attack it and leave them low on food. Shinobi generally carry as much food as they'll use on a mission, but Kakashi supposes most civilians don't have such easy access to sealing scrolls. It's certainly inconvenient, though. Should we use the trees? Sakura suggests quietly, barely a step behind Kakashi as they head down the road towards the town. Kakashi was debating it, but... Too many opportunities for them, he says. We don't know the terrain in there. Stick to the road. She nods tightly, and it's too dark to see more than a pale slash of her expression. But Kakashi has to wonder how much is the lighting and how much is fear. If it's the latter, though, it's not enough to stop her from asking quietly, Do you really think Kiba would attack us again? If Kakashi thought he could call off this mission, trade off with anyone else at all, he would do it in a heartbeat. Emotional involvement has never been grounds for abandoning a mission, though, and most people would just laugh in Kakashi's face for even suggesting it. He did once before, he makes himself stay. Tries to keep his tone light. I don't think you should consider him the same person you went to the academy with. Not anymore. It's easy to say that, Sakura tells him, on the edge of sharp, and it's enough of a surprise that Kakashi blinks and looks down at her. She has her face turned away, though, a distinct tightness to the set of her mouth, and it's easy for Kakashi to consider someone like Itachi his enemy after having seen the aftermath of the massacre, after years to adjust to the betrayal. But for Sakura, for Naruto and Sasuke, Kiba was their classmate not even a year ago. This is their first encounter with the idea that traitors can come from anywhere. With a faint sigh, Kakashi tucks his hands into his pockets, lifting his gaze to scan the road ahead of them. No, he says, feeling the bruise between his shoulder blades throb, thinking of Kudenai, cold and grim and working herself into exhaustion, just so she can get even a few hours of sleep each night. It's really not. Sakura doesn't answer, but she ducks her head a little, and Kakashi assumes she gets the point. I forgot to account for supply trips, she says quietly, like it's a confession. Kakashi hums. That's why you're still a genin, he tells her, because Sakura has a perfectionist streak to her, and Kakashi knows that feeling all too well. If you were perfect and knew everything, I'd be out of a job. That, at least, gets a quick flash of a smile from her. Then you just read that book of yours all day, she accuses, and Kakashi tips his nose up. It's fine literature, he retorts. You'll appreciate it when you're older. Sakura gives him a look that is wholly doubtful, but before she can answer, Kakashi catches a glimpse of lights through the trees and raises a hand for silence. Naruto would loudly demand to know why, but thankfully, Sakura immediately goes quiet, turning to check the road behind them, and then hurrying a few steps to keep up with Kakashi as they head around the corner. The trees are thick enough here to entirely block line of sight, and that uncomfortable prickling slides back down the back of Kakashi's neck again. There's no shouting, though, no overt signs of danger, just quiet. A lantern hanging from one post of the cart provides just enough light for Kakashi to make out the first hint that something really is wrong. The ox is standing in the middle of the road, still in its traces, but he's not going anywhere. The reins are slack and the seat is empty. There's a strange, sharp smell hanging in the air that makes Kakashi bristle, every instinct singing a loud warning, and he draws a kunai, steps forward just enough to put himself in front of Sakura. "Poison again?" he asks mildly, eyes on the shifting shadows. "I guess the rumors that Inuzuka can't diversify are true. You just traded your Nindog for bombs." There's a low, rough laugh, and a shape drops from the branches of the tree that leans out over the road. Kiba lands lightly on a railing of the cart, easily balanced on the balls of his feet, and grins at them. "Technically, it was a lot of bombs," he says, and flips the glass orb he's holding up into the air. It's filled with something dark that Kakashi can't quite make out in the low light. A powder, maybe, that swirls innocuously as Kiba catches it again. Dark eyes slide past Kakashi, focusing on Sakura, and Kiba tilts his head, like a curious dog. "Hey, Sakura! I didn't see you before! Still panting after Sasuke like a..." "Finish that sentence, Inuzuka," Sakura says, quietly, tightly. Her hands are clenched into fists, and her eyes are fixed on Kiba. "I dare you." Kiba just laughs, his smile unwavering. "Look at that! It's like the fight with Ino reminded you that you could be top bitch if you tried." Kakashi can feel Sakura bristle. Lack of exposure to the way the Inuzuka used the term, making her write it off as an insult, when it's actually anything but. He puts a hand out before she can respond, halting her, and asks, "Where's the delivery crew?" "Dead," Kiba answers carelessly. So offhand that Kakashi would think his kill count was already in the hundreds, instead of barely 5 months in progress. "If you want to salvage the supplies, though, go ahead." There are enough teeth in that smile that Kakashi is willing to bet every ounce of food on the cart has been thoroughly soaked in poison. And given that Kiba stole Genma's clan secrets, Kakashi likely wouldn't trust anything, even if Kiba hadn't said as much so. He's seen what those formulas can do, and he remembers at least three that are entirely undetectable. It's not worth the risk. "We're going to take you back to Konoha," he says evenly. "You need to answer for what you've done." Kiba scoffs loudly, folding his arms over his chest. "What, murdering that old bastard? I did the world a favor. You should be giving me a damn medal for that, not assigning me a prison cell." Kakashi has heard the rumors, was never quite able to decide if he thought they were true. Looking at Kiba now, he can see the curl of rage beneath his features, the stiffness of his body. Discomfort, Kakashi thinks, and doesn't let himself close his eye. He shouldn't be surprised, and he mostly isn't. Academy students take classes in seduction techniques for a reason. Still, for something like that to happen inside Konoha's walls, done by one of Konoha's heroes, regardless of how tarnished, Kakashi wishes he could feel sick, but all he can manage right now is numb. "Your mother is cracking around the edges," he says quietly. "Your sister cried when they told her you were a missing nin." Kiba doesn't flinch, doesn't so much as twitch, just tips his chin up, a faint smirk tugging at one corner of his mouth. "Right, because that's gonna make me walk right into a death sentence? Nice try." Kakashi raises a brow right back. "You murdered an elder and stole clan secrets. Were you really expecting something different?" With a snort, Kiba rocks back, shifting his weight like he's about to leap backwards into the trees. "Does it even count as a clan when there's only one member left?" he asks, and that almost makes Kakashi flinch. Cold and cruel and offhand, but he thinks of his father curled around his sword, Genma's mother and sister dead in the Kyuubi attack. Konoha was started by dozens of clans, but they're dwindling these days. The Senju and Uchiha and Uzumaki are all but gone, and many of the smaller families are dying out. "Yes," Kakashi says quietly, sharply. "It does. Genma will want his other knife back, too. If you don't want to hand it over, I'm happy to take it. Kiba's eyes narrow, and he looks Kakashi over, gaze coming to rest on the covered knife still in the pocket of Kakashi's flak jacket. So that's where it got to, he says, and grins, all teeth. Awesome! Now I don't have to waste time looking for it! The bravado, at least, hasn't changed, though it has a sharper edge now, something jagged and angry enough to draw blood. Kakashi's felt it himself, that desperate, tearing ache, like everything is lost, like everything that matters has been torn away. With time and Guy's effort, Kakashi got better, but Kiba won't. Not like this, divorced from the village and everyone he could possibly love. He opens his mouth, not entirely sure how to put that into words, but knowing he has to, and... You poisoned Naruto, Sakura says. Her voice wavers on the first word, but then steadies, grows stronger. He's unconscious and he's not waking up, and it's because of you! I thought you were supposed to be friends! Kiba flinches. He takes a step back, not quite unbalanced, but close to it. And even if he doesn't look away, there's a flicker to his eyes like he wants to. He got in my way, he says, almost a growl. And fucking good, anyway. A monster like him making me look like an idiot? He got what he deserved. Sakura's breath catches, shudders out hard. She lets her gaze track past Kiba, down to the cart, and her eyes fix on a patch of shadow. A hand, Kakashi thinks, limp and motionless, falling through the slats in a boneless arc that only comes in death. One of the villagers who tried to make a late-night delivery to his lord, unaware of what was waiting for him. From here, Sakura says quietly, I can only see one monster, and it's not Naruto. Rage flashes across Kiba's face, and he drops to all fours, launching himself off the railing. Sakura jerks back, but Kakashi is already moving, lunging to intercept. He brings his kunai slashing around, but Kiba's just a touch faster than he expects, and ducks low, sliding right underneath Kakashi's guard. In any other situation, Kakashi would get out of the way, leap over his head and go for a jutsu, but Sakura is right behind him, still in the line of fire, and Kakashi isn't about to let her get poisoned. He braces himself, twists around the kick Kiba aims at his kneecap, and stabs down. The clone pops just as a smoke bomb detonates, and Kakashi curses inwardly, holding his breath even as he leaps back, snatching Sakura right off the ground and dragging them both clear. No way to tell if it's more poison, but Kakashi isn't about to take that risk. From the branches above, there's a laugh. Kakashi spins, shoving his hatayate straight, and it's his greatest advantage fighting in the dark. Little tells can mean the difference between winning and being beaten by a genin, and if Kakashi gets his ass kicked like this, Tenzo will keep bringing it up until Kakashi wants to cut his own head off to escape the mockery. Another rough laugh, and Kiba drops down, landing in a crouch in the middle of the road. There's a knife in his hand, twin to the one Kakashi recovered, but with a black hilt instead of white. And Kakashi hasn't ever seen Genma use these knives, can't even recall him mentioning them, except when he reported his clan's heirlooms stolen. There's no way to know precisely what they do, but Kakashi isn't willing to risk a cut to find out. You caught me by surprise there, Kiba says, eyes narrowing in concentration. And he twists one hand into a seal. Made me hesitate. Like, fuck, that's gonna happen again. Glancing up, he bares his teeth, focusing on Sakura. You, Naruto, Hinata, Kurenai, it doesn't matter who gets in my way next time. I'll kill them. He means it, Kakashi thinks. And he should probably be surprised by that, too. But it just brings a flicker of grim resignation. Kiba isn't going to pull any more punches. And maybe that will change if they put Akamaru in front of him again. But for now, he's made up his mind. That much is clear. And maybe Naruto could convince him to waver, but right now Naruto is half dead from Kiba's poison. It's making Kakashi feel a lot less sympathetic than he might otherwise. There's a hissing, rumbling rush deeper in the trees, and Kakashi doesn't know what it is, but he also isn't going to wait to be surprised by it. Lunging forward, he slashes out, misses Kiba by a hair's breadth as the boy ducks and leaps aside. A foot catches him in the side of the kneecap, making him stagger, and without hesitating, Kiba throws himself bodily into Kakashi, knocks him sideways and down as he tries to get his feet under him. A hand at the pocket of his flak jacket makes him growl, slamming an elbow into Kiba's sternum, and he can hear all the air leave Kiba's lungs in a grunt. Kiba gets his breath back on a laugh, even as he rolls back to his feet and catches himself on the edge of the cart. He flexes his fingers, eyes still fixed on Kakashi, and then reaches into his pocket and pulls out a handful of smoke bombs. He's grinning like this is all a game, even as he tosses them lightly in the air. "Kurenai-sensei told us a hell of a lot about your nose," he says lightly, and in the flickering lantern light, even with the Sharingan, it's almost impossible for Kakashi to make out anything on his face beyond the obvious. Kakashi can see his shoulders tense, his weight shift, a spark of chakra rising, but nothing in Kiba's eyes beyond determination. "So what do you say we put it to the test, yeah?" The smoke bombs drop, and that spark of chakra leaps after them. Kakashi grabs for Sakura, pushing her back hard, and orders, "Go alert Kurenai!" Sakura takes one stumbling step back, gets her balance, and turns with a sharp, "Yes, sensei!" and a shuriken just misses her. Kakashi doesn't waste time staring at the line the blade opened in her dress, doesn't try to calculate how close to the skin that was. He lunges for the source even as he summons a clone, catches movement in the smoke, and flips over Kiba's head as the boy tries to stab him. Kiba snarls, spins, and lashes out with his black-hilted knife, but Kakashi blocks it with a kunai, knocks it away, and kicks Kiba back hard with a foot to the stomach. He falls, rolls, and comes right back to his feet, and if Kakashi were willing to feel anything for an enemy, he might call the curl in his chest reluctant admiration. Kiba's gotten tougher without a doubt. With a low growl, Kiba lunges, lets Kakashi leap over him as he flings a handful of shuriken after him, and at this range, it doesn't matter if his aim is less than perfect. Kakashi curses, twists hard, and launches himself out of the way, landing on top of the cart with slightly less than his normal grace. He wavers, almost falling onto the bodies below. The gleam of glass catches his eye. There's half a heartbeat to register the source. Another to twist. Kakashi gets his feet under him as he gathers his chakra, but Kiba already has his hands twisted together in a familiar seal, and the lantern flares. The flame leaps out, drops down onto the orbs of dark powder nestled all around the cart, and Kakashi leaps as hard as he can for the safety of the trees. Right at his heels, there's a crack, a muffled whoomp, a surge of light and heat. The cart practically explodes into flame, and Kakashi hits the ground and rolls, feeling his clone pop where it was standing too close to the blast. He pushes himself upright, catches the barest flicker of movement from his Sharingan, and ducks as three kunai embed themselves in the tree behind him. Summoning a Doton Jutsu, he lets it pull him under, focuses on the flicker of chakra above, and rises, grabbing for Kiba's legs. With a snarl, Kiba kicks him in the face, leaps up into the branches of the tree, and tosses another glass ball. Not about to stick around and find out whether it's poison or accelerant, Kakashi ducks back under the ground, letting it seal over him, and only just feels the impact in the soil as Kiba lands. No way of telling if it's a clone, and Kiba's an Inuzuka, so he's definitely proficient in them. The rumble of an explosion passes over Kakashi's head, and he curses to himself. Every second he waits gives Kiba the chance to change the battlefield in his own favor, and it's not something Kakashi would usually mark as a concern with a Genin, or even with most Chunin, but it's definitely a threat here. Fuck, but Kakashi hates fighting poison users.